I'm Rob. Welcome to the podcast. Let's talk about the next step in organizing, whether it be in your community, for change, your workplace, whatever it is. There are some key elements that we need to understand that are crucial, that are the pillars in the structure of oppression. Don't get it wrong. Whether you believe that your workplace can be oppressive at times, or the government, or just some kind of structure that you have to exist in that wants to keep you disorganized. If you just think about it for a moment, we'll just use these corporations because they are easy to kind of break down. They have a massive structure. They pay people to be organized. They have lawyers on roll. They have systems set up. They have infinite ways that they have meticulously planned that will benefit only those that are shareholders or at the very top. These workplaces are not here to benefit the workers. They're here, the bottom line is a profit. They want a profit. And that's not debatable. That's just business, right? People don't go into business so the workers can make money. People don't go into business so the community gets a good deal. Don't be fooled. That's also why I never understand these people that say the market will fix itself. What do you mean by that? Because the market only cares about making money. So are you saying, don't worry, they'll figure out a way to make more money? Or are you saying that somehow they'll overlook profit and finally want to care about the people that make that profit? I never understood that. These people that say that. I guess I should find somebody and ask. Or next time somebody says, I just say, what do you mean? And if they go, oh, don't worry, they'll incorporate the workers. No, they won't. And the only way they do is for the workers to make an excess amount of money for them, which they hoard. They can't pay workers properly because they wouldn't be able to afford their yachts, their third home, their vacations, their healthcare, their whatever they're doing, the heat for their homes. Let's just keep it as simple as groceries nowadays. But there are a few things that it is imperative that you understand. Now, even if you had a good boss, because we're going to strictly talk about these not so good bosses. But even if you had a good boss, you might have encountered some of these things. So I just want to talk about four different principles, let's call it, that a workplace, a school, a community can use as tactics to keep people from organizing. The first one is fear. This one is the most powerful one of all. There is so much fear. Whenever I think about the gun debate, I think those people rely heavily on fear. They're scared people are going to take their guns. They're scared to go anywhere without a gun. And they're scared constantly. That's all I hear. Because usually, after they talk about a right of a Second Amendment, they say, you're not going to take my guns, or I want to bring my guns somewhere. And I go, that's weird. Right? Maybe you don't agree. But I think I go tons of places without a gun. I'm not scared to go these places without it. What if I had to put a gun on to go somewhere? I'm obviously thinking something might be going down. Unless, I don't know, do some people just carry a gun as like a accessory? Is it like a pocketbook? Is it a pair of shoes? Is it a hat? Are you just putting it on to show it off? I would think if you have a gun, there's an implicit purpose for that. So fear. These people rely on fear. Fear of conflict. Fear of retaliation. Fear of people going, no, you can't do that to me. So many people just lose their voice and become submissive. And after a long, long, extended period of time of them, and I mean, it's very subtle sometimes. But as an organizer, you can tap into that righteous anger about these injustices. That's why in the first episode, I said, you got to talk to people. Because if they're angry about something, it might be because the company, the community, the school put fear in them. It was an injustice done. And we see that all the time. I mean, if you just look back 170 years ago, slavery was the law. But there were people that said, I don't care if that's the law. That ain't right. And you're not going to use your fear tactics of jail time or hanging or whatever it is to convince me not to speak up and speak out about this. And hopefully, if you can tap into that righteous anger, you can find people that will open up to you once you're talking to them about that. They'll maybe witness your courage and determination to act. And that's how you know these companies, these structures, these organizations, these whatever, these governments are organized, because organization is about acting on things. It's not about standing idly by. They'll send law enforcement to enforce. They'll make laws. They are acting all the time on their behalf. The second thing these structures rely on, hopelessness. This is one I encounter too often. And it's so disappointing. People feel like, well, that's how it's always been. Or we don't have the power to change things. Or things can't change. Whenever I hear that argument, I always think about the civil rights movement. I think there were people actively organizing, going out to say, this segregation stuff is bullshit. And we ain't going to stand idly by. We're going to do sit-ins. We're going to do strikes, protests, marches, whatever it is. We're going to take action and say, this is not only un-American, it's immoral. And I think those people that had that hopelessness that said, that's how it's always been, or we don't have the power to change it. I know where they stood on that side of history, on the wrong side. Don't let hopelessness make you stand on the wrong side of history. Now, as an organizer, you're going to help develop a plan to win, and you're going to share examples of victories elsewhere, just like I shared with you. The civil rights movement had victories. I mean, we haven't come as far as we need to, but they had victories. And hopefully that will inspire other people to see hope and believe with that hope that change is possible, or at least it's worth fighting for. Every time, I mean, that's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is being one of those people that said, like during the civil rights time. That's terrifying to me to think I could have been one of those. Well, I refuse to be, but to think that there were people that just were like, we don't have the power to change that. Really? Man made these laws. Man can change these laws. Now, the other thing these structures rely on is division, pitting workers against each other, and I hate this one. They do it all the time, and sometimes they don't even need to feed into it. I encounter people who say, it's a low-skilled work, you shouldn't be paid that amount, and I go, really? Because I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be paid your amount, but I'm fighting for you to get more money. I think everybody's underpaid, except for these CEOs. If you're struggling paycheck to paycheck, or even have a top-tier job like these nurses and doctors right now, why would they not deserve more money after what they lived and saved people through? Division. Do not become a self-loathing working-class person. You are not a capitalist unless you own capital, and you don't make your money working, you make your money passively. Then, I guess you're a capitalist. And if you want to fight us, that's fine. But if you're one of those low-paid capitalists, I'm still fighting for you to get a raise, too. I want everybody to be able to survive. You can't call this the greatest nation in the world when there are 9.1 million kids going hungry in America every day. One thing I'm still working on is identifying common ground and building relationships, because that's how you overcome the division. And by building those relationships, you empower other people with the unity to act together, to organize together, to come together as one. Now, the last main pillar of the disorganization effort by these structured oppressive systems is confusion. Passing around messages that will alarm or distract you. Even just them being confused themselves, not knowing could land you in trouble. You ever had that happen when they go, I don't know, just do that. And then all of a sudden you're paying the price for something that management didn't want to inform you on. Knowing is half the battle. If G.I. Joe taught us anything, if an 80s cartoon based off a toy taught us anything, it's knowledge is power. Maybe that one's Reading Rainbow. I forget. Anyways, so as an organizer, you need to interpret and share information, fitting it into a bigger picture. That is so key. I always, whenever I get good information, I like to share it. It's one thing I'm very good at. Pass it around. Good, key information, whether it be historical or just stuff for every day. I love to help people. They're kind of like life hacks. That's what we should do. I should create that. History hacks. Do you know what happened before? It's like these new Nazis. I never get that. I go, did any of your grandparents fight in World War II? Mine did. And these World War II vets, they should come and whoop your ass again. Do you not know a history hack for all these new Nazis out there? Do you not know how it went? Why don't you follow your leader's example? Do you know how his demise came to be? Do that. Do us all a favor. And by you interpreting and disseminating that information, fitting it into a bigger picture, you're empowering, but you're also giving people clarity to see through the structure's plan to oppress. I just wanted to briefly go over those four things. Take this information and, like I did with you, you share it with someone else. Each one teach one, all right? That's all I got time for right now. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. This is Rob's Morning Psychosis. And you know what? Next time, we'll continue on this how to organize your community, your workplace, your school, your people together. Because like I've said before, and like I think about all the time, if these million-dollar corporations didn't care about organizing, didn't care about unionizing, didn't care about people joining together, they wouldn't spend millions each year. More than they would spend if they just answered the demands of the workers. They spend millions to fight it. Why? Because it's about power. They have the power right now. But if we organize together, the people have the power. Thanks for listening. Peace.